Okay, take a few minutes and read the rest of page 3. Okay, so this is just general instructions here on page 3. Yeah? So leading the group in the meditation. Then in general, when you're leading the group, whether it's a discussion or an exercise or a meditation, yeah, your speaking manner should be cheerful. Yeah, and that's a reflection of your motivation. So if you feel a lack of energy, go back and recultivate your motivation. When you're leading a discussion and, you know, or pointing out points to people, don't sing your own praises, you know. I mean, it's very easy, especially when everybody's paying attention to you, to, you know, well, I've understood this, and I've been with this great teacher, and I learned this special thing, and I've done this retreat, and I've taken this, you know. So you don't want to do that, because remember, the point is the others. The focus is on, you know, the relationship with others. It's not on making ourselves look good. Don't point out the faults of other people. You might sometimes need to correct different ideas. Remember, the idea is different than the person, so you can correct the idea without humiliating the person or bad-mouthing somebody who isn't in the room. Look out for your own judgmental mind. And this is a real tricky one, because you're dealing with a group and the mind, you know, we look out and we start looking and we judge. You know, this one looks bright, that one looks stupid, this one I want to talk to, this one I don't, you know? And the mind starts doing this. And then automatically, even though you're supposed to be helping everybody equally, our mind has degenerated into partiality. Yeah, when you're teaching the Dharma, it's incredibly important to overcome all of our biases as much as we can and to have an open heart towards everybody. It's so important. Yeah, I mean, this is a key Dharma thing, but especially in the case when you're trying to help people in the Dharma. You know, all your personal opinions, your personal likes, your personal dislikes, out the window, throw them out the window, because the purpose is to benefit the people who are in front of your nose. Okay? So if, you know, you don't like people with purple hair, and somebody with purple hair, you know, because American teenagers dye their hair purple sometimes, walk into the room, I mean, and sometimes, I mean, America, you know, they pierce themselves here and they pierce, you know. And if you think, if you have this idea, oh, purple hair, pierced people, oh, you know. And one walks into the room and you go, you know. Then how are you going to benefit that person? How are you going to teach that person the Buddha's teachings about love and compassion if you're sitting there wishing they went away because your own heart is so closed? Okay, so all it's so good trying to help other people, because all of our own prejudices are right there in front of our nose. You know, I don't like the way this one walks. This one complains too much. You know, that one interrupts. This one's too quiet. That one shuffles their feet. This one, you know, our mind will just sit there and criticize one mentally. You know, one person after another, right? Yeah, don't we do this? When you're sitting and watching a bus, waiting for a bus. Yeah, when you're sitting in the MRT station looking at the people around you, aren't you giving a running commentary about them? Yeah? That one's old and fat, looks like my, you know, grandma. This one, you know, yeah, oh, he's very good looking, I want to talk to him. You know, this one looks rich, this one looks poor, that one looks sick, this one looks like they're in a bad mood, don't we? Yeah, that one looks mean, get him away. Okay? I mean, we really have to be aware when we have all these prejudices and biases, and remember that we are communicating not with the superficial aspect of people, but we're trying to communicate with their internal goodness. We're trying to communicate with their potential to become a Buddha. So it doesn't matter what race, what nationality, or age, or gender, or sexual orientation, or whatever it is, we're communicating with one sentient being who has been our mother in our previous lives and been kind to us. Yeah. And in this way, leading groups becomes an incredible opportunity for us to develop personally and overcome our prejudices. Just to give you an example, because I do prison work in the States, you know, I often go to prisons, I correspond with prisoners. It's very interesting because some of the guys I correspond with, I mean, if they want to have a Dharma relationship, they have to be open with me, and I ask them, you know, how come you're there? And they tell me. And some of the guys I write to have done the kind of crimes that I personally am most terrified of. Yeah? But they're writing to me with faith because they want to change and they want to learn the Dharma. So my fear, my prejudice, out the window, because here's a sentient being that I have to help. And I can't just see him as a murderer or a rapist. You know, I have to see him as a human being. And it's helped me so much get over these kinds of prejudices. And very often, I mean, it usually happens almost every time I go into a prison to give a talk. But I'll just give you one example. One prison I visited this summer, there was one guy sitting there while I was giving a talk, and he had this really nasty expression on his face. I mean, he just, you know. And I was thinking, I really wouldn't like to meet this guy on a dark street. You know, he just doesn't look like a nice guy to bump into. But anyway, there I was giving the Dharma talk. But I watched this. I watched my mind go, ooh, you know, to this person. But it was very interesting because after I gave the Dharma talk, he came up, he approached me, and he started to tell me, you know, that he's gotten into Buddhism and it's really helped him. And as he was talking, the whole expression on his face changed. And I realized, hey, this person is actually quite an okay person. Yeah? And my previous, you know, fear and discomfort, goodbye. Yeah? So it made me see that it's not fair when I judge somebody just on how they look in the audience, because, you know, here's somebody who I didn't like, but when they came up and talked to me, you know, again, we had the personal relationship. Okay? So that's why I'm saying, you know, be real aware in your own mind when you're having judgment and biases, and remember that, you know, these are only superficial aspects of people, and what you're trying to connect with is their potential to become a Buddha. And what you try to remember is their kindness to you as a human being, if not in this life, then in previous lives. Okay? If somebody says something dumb, or that you think is dumb, don't say, gee, that's dumb. Because what we think is dumb may have helped somebody else in the group. Yeah? Because people think in very, very different ways. So a comment that seems off the wall to us may have made something click for somebody else in the room. Okay? So respect people for whatever they ask, you know. But like I said before, we don't have to respond to every comment, but we have to give space so that people feel comfortable saying what they want to say. Okay, if people ask a question, and sometimes this happens, they will ask a question and it'll go on and on and on and on, and it's twisted and confused. You know, what you have to do then is rephrase it in like one or two sentences to make sure you've understood it and to help the other person, you know, learn to figure out what they're really asking. So sometimes we need to help people figure out what their question is. Okay, sometimes when people will ask a question, you get a sense that they're asking, that they're saying one thing, but what they really want to know is something else. Have you ever had that happen? You know, people are saying one thing, but you feel like, wait a minute, what they're really asking is something else. And so then you have to tune in to what is it that they're really asking. Let me see if I can think of an example for you. Like, okay, let's say in regard to the 9/11 tragedy, yeah? Somebody comes in and you're having a discussion and somebody says, you know, kind of, and the way they're saying it with their voice and their body language, yeah, they're saying, all these people died then. Is that because they created negative karma? I mean, it just, what does karma have to do with this? I don't understand what karma is about. Does that mean they deserve to suffer? Does that mean that we're all in this karmic mess together? And so you can see somebody, it seems like with their mouth, they're asking a question about karma. But from their tone of voice and their body language, you get the sense that what they're really asking is, how do I deal with my own anxiety about this tragedy? Do you see what I mean? Okay? And sometimes people aren't even in touch with what they're really asking. But you can sense it through their voice, through their body language, whatever. Yeah? In that case, what you want to do is say, you know, they're ostensibly asking about karma, but you get a sense that what they're really saying is, I'm really anxious about what happened. Yeah, I don't know how to deal with my anxiety about this. Okay? So you might say, yes, you know, it's very helpful to understand karma as it relates to the 9/11 event. But what we really have to do is go through our grieving practice, or go through the grieving process. And what we really have to do is learn to deal with our anxiety about it. And then you start talking about grief and anxiety, because that's what the person is really wanting to know. Okay? You know, if it happens sometime when we're talking, I'll point it out to you. Yeah? But some, you know, this happens very often in groups or in discussions with people. They're saying one thing, but they're wanting something else. Yeah?
Can I ask a question here? The person asking the question, maybe, yes, you may want a different, is expecting something else, I would say. But then, again, the audience, perhaps he's talking about karma, then you're talking about something else. You're not replying exactly to what he's saying. So, you know, this creates a kind of a...
No, you reply a few sentences to what the topic is that they brought up, but most of your response to what they're really asking. So you don't ignore the topic that they bring up, but you mention it, but then you relate it to what you think they're really asking. Okay? If somebody asks a question and you don't know the answer, say, I don't know. Okay? Don't say, that's a dumb question, or we'll come to it later. Don't change the topic. Yeah, don't do things that make them embarrassed or humiliated. Set a good example for them and say, I don't know. Because if you, as the leader, can be okay with saying you don't know things, then it means they can relax and be okay with not knowing things. Yeah? Don't make up an answer if you don't have any idea what it is. Yeah? It's much more important just to be frank and say, I don't know. I'll go ask my teachers, I'll ask somebody, I'll look in a book, and we'll talk about this later. Yeah? Thank you for bringing this up and helping me to learn something too. Okay? You know, if you haven't understood somebody's question, don't try and respond to it. Really, you know, keep asking them to reword it until you feel like you understand it. Sometimes people will ask a general question, but you know that they really want to know something. They're thinking of a specific situation in their mind. And in those kinds of situations, what I often do when I reply is I'll say, my response is in general, it's not applicable to every every topic or every instance of this. Or sometimes I'll say directly to the person, it seems to me like you have a specific situation in mind. Could you tell me that? Because then it'll help me respond more accurately to what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, this happened at lunch today, actually. Yeah, one person I was having lunch with asked me a question. It was the kind of, and I had this sense that she was asking about a personal situation. It wasn't just a general question. In the answer, you know, I couldn't really answer it in general because it was the kind of question that if it was this situation, I would say this, and if it was this situation, I would say that. And so I said that to her. I said, you know, it seems to me you're thinking of something more, you know, specific. If you can share that with me, and if you don't feel comfortable talking about it here, we can talk about it later. You know, then if you can share the specific thing with me, it'll help me respond more accurately. You know, because if you're talking about this kind of situation, this is what I say. But if you're talking about that kind of situation, that is what I would say. Yeah? Okay? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay. Then, you know, you say it, you let them say their thing. It depends on how they say it. Sometimes they're saying it as a question, like, I went to this other teacher, and this other teacher said da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and you're saying dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, and how do I reconcile these, okay? So you can tell from the way the person is asking the question that they want you to respond to the comment, the content of it. And so you do. Okay. Sometimes you get somebody who doesn't want an answer, they just want to spout off their own stuff, okay? There you have to handle it real skillfully. If it's a large group of people, you can't let this person go off and give their own discourse because the group didn't come to hear them. They came to hear what you have organized. So at that point, you know, if somebody's going on, you might have to say something like, thank you very much for your comment. I would like to come back to the point that we're talking about. Okay? You just say that. Thank you for your comment. Let's come back to what we were talking about. I want to keep people centered on this. I had it happen one time. This happened actually more than once. But one time, I was in Seattle giving a talk at a bookstore, okay? And I had to read something from one of my books and talk about it. So fine, okay. So then we're having questions and answers. So one woman raises her hand, and she's from a different Buddhist tradition, you know, it doesn't matter which one. But she goes and says, you know, my understanding of karma is not like that. My understanding of karma from what my tradition and my sect says, which is the one true way of interpreting Buddhism, is blah, 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 blah. And she goes on and on and on and on and on. And then when she paused, I said, thank you very much. You know, we have different ideas, but thank you for sharing. That's all I said, you know? I didn't go and contradict her. I didn't tell her she was wrong. I just said, thank you. There's varying interpretations. That's fine. It was very interesting because after that, you know, when the session was over, a few people came up to me and they said, wow, you handled that so well. Yeah. And I realized that I had not had this thought at the time it was happening, but what I realized later was what they were learning from watching this is that you don't have to get in a fight with everybody who has a different view. And you don't have to feel humiliated as a speaker if somebody contradicts you. And you don't need to correct people who aren't open to listening. Yeah? So it was a very good lesson for me. I mean, that the fact that they came up and gave me that feedback afterwards. Because it gave me a little bit more confidence. Yeah, you know, this is, you just say thank you and go on. Leave it. Okay? But you have to prevent that person from taking over the show. Yeah? So it has to be very clear. You know, thank you for your comment. Let's come back to what we were talking about. You know, and you keep people on track. Yeah. Okay, do we let them say their piece until they end, or do we interrupt? If you get the sense that somebody's talking just to hear themselves talk, and that they're trying to, you know, take over the scene, then you interrupt, you know? Because they have to, you know, take a breath sometimes. So when they take a breath, you go right in there, okay? Yeah? And also, no matter what happens in a session, don't let it bother you. Because sometimes, I mean, you get people who act all sorts of ways. I had one guy, oh, this was an incredible situation. It was in India, and I was giving a talk, and this guy interrupted, and he said something, and then I brought us back. And then he interrupted again, and he said something, and then he just got up and stomped out of the room. You know, he was like really mad at me, for I have no clue, you know, but just got up and stomped out of the room. Okay, fine, and we went on. You know, it's like this guy has some kind of problem. I didn't do anything wrong, yeah? So I don't need to say, oh, what did I do wrong? Oh, what are people going to think about me? What's he going to say to other people? You know, just, okay, you know, this guy has some problem, let him be. Yeah. So don't take it personally when people do different things, when an activity is going on, because you get all sorts of people coming. Yeah.